Chapter 3. Getting to Know the Boss. Every day when I walked through the lobby of Fox Plaza to make my way up to the 34th floor, I entered the world of politics, the politics of the elevator. The other passengers in the elevator to the top floors were some of the most powerful and influential CEOs, attorneys, and financial advisors in Southern California. As we crowded in, my Nordstrom-trained senses would often detect the scent of expensive cologne on the men, spot the Chanel suits or handbags on the women, notice the turn of an Armani cuff on a shirt, or the artfully constructed vents in the back of a bespoke jacket. Elevator politics played like poker. We sized each other up, daring someone to go all in. One man stepped forward, swiped his key card, and pushed the 28th floor. An impressive opening. The next slowly extracted the card from his jacket pocket, waiting to make sure everyone was looking, and raised him to 31. Then I stepped forward and played my 34, the equivalent of an elevator royal flush. My well-clad companions would take a second look at me, a young woman who looked much younger than her age, and would wonder, what is that kid doing with a key card to the top floor, the president's floor? Often in the beginning, I wondered that too. Yet as time went on, I found my footing. I was responsible for keeping President Reagan on time, on schedule, on task, and on point. I not only had to keep pace with the president, but I was expected to be three steps ahead of him. And those steps had better be in the right direction, since the United States Secret Service was also following along. I was young, yet I had to present myself as a voice of authority, even when I wasn't always completely confident myself. The pace of life and business didn't allow for the luxury of second-guessing, so it meant that I had to make many quick decisions and learn to trust my instincts. While my formal schooling ended with a bachelor's degree in organizational communications and a minor in business, my informal schooling was ongoing, with a pace and intensity far greater than even that of my college years. From my prime observation point, I wasn't just watching President Reagan, but other leaders too, of countries, of industries, and of companies, the best of the best. I made it a habit to arrive at the office every day at 8:30 a.m., half an hour before the office officially opened, and 90 minutes before the president arrived. My desk faced the conference.